Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, I pray tonight that the words that you give will serve the people that have come tonight. And Lord, I pray that you encourage our hearts. You remind us that we were made for a mission. And may we rise up to the task for which you've called us to do. So Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, I worked for a guy that owned a furniture store. And when he had asked me to work for him, I was excited about it. He had all kinds of great furniture. And I thought, hey, this would be kind of a cool job. And so on my first day, we don't even go into the showroom. We go out back to this warehouse. And in this warehouse is all this broken, pathetic-looking furniture. And he said, and he gave me a dust rag and some spray stuff. And he said, just dust everything off. And I mean, it was like about half the size of this room, full of this kind of furniture. And it bothered me a little bit. I thought maybe he'd heard about me, that I wasn't very capable. And so he put me in the warehouse to dust off this broken furniture. And I remember the first day just doing that. And that's all I did. Came and found him. And he said, I'll see you tomorrow. Same time I come back. It's the same deal. And after about 3 days of it, I'm not happy anymore. I asked him if there's anything else to do. And he goes, well, what's the problem? I said, man, the problem is all this furniture, it's just junk. I mean, it's broken, and I'm dusting it off. And, you know, I've got a desk with two legs. It's like leaning on the side, and you want me to dust it off? I don't get it. He said, well, do you like the furniture in the showroom? I said, well, yeah, that furniture's great. And he said, that's what all that's going to look like one day. And basically his business was to go to all these places and buy all this broken furniture and then he would fix it. And he knew what all that furniture would one day look like. I didn't. I didn't have the ability. I didn't have the vision. And I was just kind of lost in there and I didn't see what was in that warehouse for the worth that it had to its owner. And we find the disciples in much the same way. Did you get aggravated at the disciples? This will be interactive. You guys are very quiet. I knew I should have Shane get another medal. Y'all are going to have to talk to me. You're going to have to help me out here tonight. I did not have a Mountain Dew tonight. And the tone of this message is one, I hope, of great encouragement. Because I don't know about you, but I do not look at my life as being in the showroom and all great for display. I still very much see my life in the warehouse, broken, torn apart, in much need of somebody who knows how to fix those things in my life. And I share that with you. That's no surprise to you. I've shared with you before. They've asked me to lead the marriage retreat in October for the church. So if you really have nothing else to do, I'd invite you to go to the marriage retreat in October. But they made a stipulation because the last time I made the marriage retreat, our child care fell through at the last minute. And I went by myself to the marriage retreat, which really was, it was really nice. But anyway, but they made a stipulation that I can't lead this next marriage retreat unless my wife actually goes with me. And I said, you know, that's hard because I have a lot more things I can say about marriage if she's not there. You know, if I'm spouting all this stuff about marriage and she's sitting there, it's going to offer quite a bit of accountability that I personally would rather not have because I am the furniture in the warehouse in much need of God to fix those broken places, in much need of God's craftsmanship in my life. And I don't know where you see your life. My guess is that probably a lot of you would say that you're in the warehouse. But you see, the guy at the warehouse cared enough for that furniture that even while it was broken, he wanted it dusted off. And he didn't want dirt building up around it. And he still took great care of that furniture. Oh, church, I pray tonight that these words would be an encouragement to you and to me. And I pray that they would serve you in your life. I mean, it's Wednesday. You know, it's kind of getting to the top of the hill, right? In your week, right? Did I say it's Thursday? Did I say it's Thursday? I said it's Wednesday? Well, then don't correct me. I'm kidding, Linda. Just kidding. And so it's Wednesday, and around here we call Thursday the Sabbath. And Thursday's just kind of a great laid-back day. And but it's Wednesday, and we've come to the middle of the week. And for some of you, I don't know if your week was like mine. Man, Wednesday is kind of just a build-up day. And maybe some of you come with great relief that, hey, half the week's over. Maybe some of you come because there's still two or three or four more days. But I pray this message tonight would be an encouragement to you, because I want you to know most people, even if they act like they should be in the showroom, what's inside is that they know they're in a warehouse and they're broken. Can I get an amen? I mean, I'm broken, not feeling worthy to be shown. I mean, is that how you feel sometimes? It's how I feel a lot. That was really, that's what makes what I do so difficult. It's such a battle inside. It's because I'm coming to preach these great things about the Lord to you, and yet, yes, so many of these things, I'm still working on those things in my life, or I should actually say, the craftsman, he's still working on those things in my life. And so this has been an encouragement for me this week. I pray that it will be so for you, because you have been created with a purpose. You're not an accident. However you got here. I had convinced my sister that we found her in the Cabbage Patch. And it was just really some strange thing that we were, first of all, in a Cabbage Patch, but that she was there. But you know what? No matter how you got here, God created you. And He has a plan that's for your life. Even if you feel like the desk with two legs. I mean, who needs a desk like that? Who needs a desk like that? Nobody needs a desk like that. Even if you feel like you're that desk, and you may be that desk, God is not finished with you. He is still working on you. Jesus has appeared to the disciples. This is after the resurrection. And He says these words. I want you to listen to this. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Now, this is after the resurrection. I mean, a few of them said, hey, man, He's not there. He rose again, just like he said he would do. I mean, how incredible would that be? And yet, they're meeting together and the door's locked because they're afraid. Because they're not sure who is out there, what is out there. They know Jesus said He would be raised again, but they're just not sure. So there they are and the doors are locked. Listen to what the Bible says. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after He said this, He showed them His hands and His side. And the disciples, the Bible says, were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. You see, they had seen Him crucified. They had seen Him put into the tomb. He was dead. He was gone. And maybe if He's dead and gone, then maybe all the words that He said and all the things that He spoke, maybe they're dead and gone too. Because your words don't carry much weight if you claim that you're going to be resurrected and you stay in the tomb. But Jesus appears to them and He shows them the holes in His hand. Reminds you of Thomas, doesn't it? And just a little bit later, because Thomas wasn't with the disciples. And Thomas told the disciples, I'll tell you what, because they're saying, Thomas, we saw Him. He's here. And Thomas said, unless I put my finger in the holes in His hands, I will not believe. I would have been with Thomas. I mean, we give Thomas a bad deal, but I would have been with Thomas if somebody said, hey, we saw Jesus. Man, you wouldn't believe it. The door was locked and He just appeared. He said, peace be with you. I'd be like, uh-huh. What are you smoking? Oh, that's what I would have. That, if I had not been there and had not seen that, that would have been hard for me to believe. So when Jesus does eventually appear, when Thomas is there, Jesus goes right to him and says, look, Thomas, put your finger in the hole. Because He's Jesus. He knew Thomas's doubts. How many of you come to church and think that God doesn't know your doubts? Pastor Jeff and I were talking today and he said, you ever doubt that you're supposed to be a preacher? I said, every day. I said, probably not as much as everybody else doubts it. But yeah, I have those doubts. Those times in life, man, we bring those doubts. And Jesus, you know, because if I'm Jesus in that moment, I ain't showing Him the holes in my hands. I'm coming in with my hands in my pocket. Hey, Thomas. What's up? You know? But Jesus goes right to Thomas. He says, hey, Thomas, look, there they are. Jesus was saying, It's me, Thomas. And Jesus didn't react with repugnance over the doubts that Thomas had. And Jesus didn't put him down, and Jesus didn't act like that he was now a sub-disciple because of his doubts. Jesus went straight to him. Jesus, and I'm going to go back to the original, Jesus appears to the disciples, and he says, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, now this is the key, "Peace be with you." That's what so many people are longing for, is peace. And that's what every presidential candidate will promise a portion of, is peace. Now, if you vote for me, we'll have peace. You'll only have peace with Jesus. Amen. You'll only have peace with Jesus. Now, come on Wednesday night, we ought to get excited about that, because you'll have no peace apart from Jesus. I don't care who the president is, what party is ruling, what country takes over us, or we take a. There's no peace without Jesus. And he's saying, "Peace be with you." Did you know that you can have peace with Jesus? Now, a lot of you already know that. And that doesn't mean the ride is less bumpier, does it? And that doesn't mean that the turns went in every way that you wanted them to go. It doesn't mean that. Jesus said, "But with me, you can have peace. You can have real peace." He says, "Peace be with you." And then he says these words, and this is the message tonight. Jesus tells the disciples, has he shown them the holes in his hand? That was a question. Has he shown them the holes in his hands? Has he showed them his side? I mean, he's revealed himself that he is indeed the risen Lord. And he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now that is a message to the church. Because the church isn't the place that you come and sit in comfortable chairs for an hour or 2 hours or whatever it may be. Those of us who are followers of Jesus, we are the church. I love the Casting Crown songs. If we are the body, you know the song? If we are the body, why aren't his hands, arms, I couldn't remember. Yeah, why aren't the body parts moving? I mean, if we're the body, why is the body comatose? If we're the body, why isn't peace getting out to the world? If we're the body, the song is really saying, what's the problem? And we're the body. And Jesus said, even as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Some of you are here tonight, and you feel that the spiritual part of your life is stagnant. You feel like in the spiritual part of your life, something is missing. And maybe you're reading your Bible. And maybe you're praying. And maybe you're seeking God in those kind of ways. But listen, this God, he is a sending God. He sent his Son to die on the cross so that our sin could be forgiven. But then it wasn't all done, right? Now, everything for salvation is fulfilled. But now, he said, I'm sending you into the world. I'm sending you. Now, what's the world? Because a lot of churches operate that the world is wherever that week-long mission trip is that a handful of people get to go to. But the world is where we're at every day and how we live our lives. How many of you believe that? I'm gonna make everybody stand up in just a minute for the rest of the sermon. He's a sending God. And he said, even as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And when my spiritual life feels stagnant, when I feel like something's missing, what is missing is the sending part of my spiritual life, because I'm called to go. You are called to go. You cannot follow God and stay where you are. You can't. We have to be on the move. Now, this is an incredible prelude to what's about to happen. You see, at this point in history, the gospel had been strictly reserved for the Jewish people, right? Everybody remember Abram? And that God called Abraham. He said, out of your seed, I'll bless the nations. You remember that? Well, you and I are still fulfilling that promise today. You and I are. He's always been sending. But now we come to this point of history, and we're getting a foreshadowing that for the first time ever, God is opening the door so that all people can have peace and that all people can know Jesus. Even as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, having said that, let me ask the question, So where are you going? Where are you going? I remember preaching some time ago about burdens. And I remember making the statement that if you want to lighten your burden, what did I say you should do? If you want to lighten your burden, give it to the Lord. That is definitely true, but that's not what I said. Yes. If you want to lighten your burden, then bear somebody else's. Bear somebody else's burden, and yours will become light. The reason I get so distracted with the junk in my life is because I'm standing still. And you stand still long enough and the junk begins to accumulate around me. But see, God hasn't called me to stand still. God has called me to move, to follow Him. Does everybody understand that following is active? Following is like a verb. Everybody understand that? So like if I say, hey man, follow me. You see, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Because I didn't say, and may your eyes follow me. I didn't say that. That's half your problem, by the way. Your eyes are, okay, anyway. And so, we're to be on the move. We're to be going. We've been sent. And if you want your spiritual part of your life to thrive, and I guess honestly, I think all of your life is spiritual, then you have to be on the move. So Jesus showed him his hands, didn't he? Now, I'm going back now to where I left off. But he showed him his hands, didn't he? What about over here? Did he show him his hands? Pretty good. Did he show him his hands?
Yeah.
Right here. Did he show him his hands?
Yeah.
It's great. Sinners are always the loudest. Now, he showed him his hands. He showed him his side. And then he said, even as the Father sent me, I am sending you. And that's kind of the end of that gathering. And Jesus goes somewhere else. I'm not sure where he goes. In the next scene, he's with Thomas. And he lets Thomas do everything Thomas felt like he needed to do to believe. And Jesus said, Thomas, you have believed because you have seen. And then Jesus says this, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed. Now, do you know who that is? It's us. That's us. We haven't seen and yet we believed. And Jesus said we'll be blessed. And I've been blessed. Have you been blessed? Tell your neighbor, I've been blessed. That's good. That's good. But then, all that was the introduction. Then we get to John 21. In what we call Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. Everybody catch that? He appeared again because he'd already seen him, didn't he? Did I ask you if they had seen his hand? Yeah, we've done that. Okay. So afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. And I am not going to take any temptation I have to talk about fishing and mention Pastor Keith. I will stay away from every temptation to say, oh, you wouldn't catch anything if you were as Pastor Keith. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say if Keith was there, they wouldn't have caught you. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to resist all temptation to do that. Jesus had just said, even as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We flash two scenes later, and Peter's standing with the disciples. He's like, I think I'm going fishing. Anybody want to go? And they all go. Now, we talked about this passage a lot in worship meeting, and every once in a while it's fun to be in our worship meetings, and there's some nice heated dialogue about what's happening here. I had the minority opinion, and therefore, since I'm the only one up here tonight, I will preach from that minority opinion, because I believe it was a bad thing that the disciples went fishing. I believe it was a bad thing. That it wasn't a good thing. It wasn't a faithful thing. They simply went back to what they were doing when? Before Jesus. They went back to that. Now, I don't know about you on this side. I don't know about you on this side, but I've got a pretty good hunch about you in the middle.
But if I went back to those things that were before Jesus, that wouldn't be good. That would not be a good thing. I would be fired if I went back to those things. That would be bad. The disciples went back. And you know what? And I'm not saying they were horrible people, because I'd have probably been on the boat too. And have been of no help on the boat, by the way. Peter, can you put the worm on for me? It's not good. They went back. I imagine Peter standing there with the disciples, and he's not sure what to do. I mean, Jesus has made this incredible statement, even as the Father has sent me, and think about all that that meant. In God the Father sending Jesus. Even as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Now, church, I'm going to tell you what I'm preaching tonight. I believe with everything in me that you and I are called to go. You see, I think that because we're here, Bowling Green should be different. But I don't stop there. I think because we're here, Kentucky should be different. And I think because we're here, our nation should be different. And I think because we're here, the world should be different. Because you and I have this incredible thing. The Bible talks about treasures and jars of clay. And you and I have the treasure in us. What is the treasure? It's Jesus, number one church answer. If you're a guest tonight, if you'll yell that out, you'll probably be right. We have this treasure inside of us. And so now all of my life is different because of that. That doesn't mean all of my life is right, because how did I start off? I'm in the warehouse and I'm broken and I'm not working the way that I'm supposed to work, and I don't happen the way I'm supposed to happen, and I'm in need of the Master to come and to complete the work that He's begun in me. And the Bible says that He'll do that, that He will complete that work. And Peter doesn't know what else to do. And Peter says, man, I know one thing. Jeff and I were talking today, and saying, what would you do if you weren't in the ministry? We talked about making just a fun video of all the staff of if they weren't in the ministry. And I said, of course, I always like to pick on Steve. I don't know if you've noticed. And I said, you know, Steve would be like, now let me tell you something about this car. And of course, I'd probably be a professional bodybuilder. It could happen. That's right. Depending on what kind of body I'm building, right? I don't know what I would do if I didn't do this. I don't know what I'd do. And I'd probably be like Peter. And so what now? What now? I just had this moment of being overjoyed according to the scriptures. But what now? Peter says, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going back on the boat. And you can imagine all the rational reasons why that was good. Hey, somebody's got to pay the bills. So I'm getting back on the boat. Hey, life's got to go on. And we got to keep on going. Hey, glad Jesus showed up and saw us. That was good. But life's got to move on. And they go to the boat. And this is one of those moments when I realize how different I am than Jesus. Because Jesus appears to them. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. They'd been fishing all night. Most people from the Middle Eastern area would tell you the best time to fish is at night. I don't know why, and I won't pretend to know why, but I read that. Is that good enough? I read that somewhere, that it's good to fish at night. So they've been fishing all night. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Now, we like to throw disciples under the bus there too, don't we? And they didn't know it was Jesus. Well, they're about 100 yards off. And I don't know, but I saw some of you reading your Bible and you're giving it this. And, you know, I don't know why they didn't recognize him. And I won't make the assumption that they were so far away spiritually that they couldn't even recognize Jesus. Because apparently when they got close up to him, they knew it was him. He called out to them. Friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered, and he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. I want to tell you, I was reading what several scholars had to say about this. One of the scholars said that where Jesus was standing, he could see a small school of fish on the other side of the boat. And he's like, oh, hey, do it on the other side. I just don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that this was a miracle. not a miracle of perception, but a miracle that the Son of God performed. And I believe that Jesus said, throw your net on the other side, and there wouldn't have had to have been one fish on the other side. There wouldn't have had, listen, let's be honest, there wouldn't have to be one fish in the sea, and they could have got their nets full because of who spoke to them. Now that's a word, church. They could have thrown their nets where nothing was, and something would have been there because it was Jesus. Now, you know why that excites me? I feel like doing a little Steve dance. But it just looks awkward when you're short, so I won't do it. But that excites me because there's been times when I felt like God said, hey, try the other side. And I'm like, but nothing's there. When God's wanted me to do something, I said, God, I can't do that. I don't have that ability. I don't have that skill. But really what I didn't have was faith. You see, I don't care if there were any fish there, that there wasn't any fish there. It was a miracle that they threw the net on the other side. I mean, let's make a couple real common sense kind of perceptions about what happened there. They've been fishing all night. Do you think they tried the other side? I'm not a fisherman. I don't claim to be. And I don't claim to be. But I'm willing to bet that they tried the other side several times. And I'm willing to bet then they tried the other side and they tried to back. If you can even do that, I don't know. And they tried to front. I'm imagining everything that they could have tried, they did. And Jesus said, throw it on the other side. Now this is where me and Jesus are so different. Because if I'm going to pull a miracle, I'm making the water disappear. Or the boat. Hey guys, boop. I mean, that's the kind of miracle I'm going to pull off. And suddenly the disciples were all swimming. I just make them all naked. I mean, just do that to them right out there in the middle of the whole thing. Some of you are like, that is so not appropriate. My point is, I would have done some kind of miracle saying, oh, so you're going to go back to the boat. Well, good luck. Just email me if you had a big issue with that. I'll delete it. And when you ask me if I got the email, I'll say, yeah, thanks. Thanks for the encouragement. But what does Jesus give them? This is good. Jesus gives them fish. Jesus gives them fish. And I think with that fish, there was a reminder. Because you remember the first thing Jesus said to him? Hey, you're fishermen. I mean, the first thing he said to him, the first time he appeared on the shore and they didn't know who he was. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. Now, not in a cannibalistic kind of a way. Hey, we caught a guy. Let's fry him and eat him. I will make you fishers of men. Why would he do that? Why would he make them fishers of men instead of fishers of fish? Because he is ascending God. Because I want you to know something. No matter how much you can't stand your neighbor, God loves him. And no matter how much you can't stand that ex, God loves him. And that person you work with, you know who they are. Maybe you know who you are. God loves them. And fishers of men is not just something for the disciples to be about. That's something for us to be about. That's what he is sending us to do. To be fishers of men. But I know. Some of you say, but I feel like Simon Peter. I feel like Simon Peter. I feel like I'm in the warehouse. I mean, I feel like right now I am not usable. That's a lie. That is a lie. You are, now everybody look at me, everybody look at me. You are whole and complete in Jesus Christ. Whether you feel like you are, whether your life looks like it is, you are whole and complete in Jesus Christ. And therefore, you are usable. Because it's not about what you bring to the table. It's about what God brings to the table. I love the story. I can't even remember the guy's name. I think his last name was Parker. And he played for the Chicago Bulls. And there was a night that Michael Jordan scored 100 points. Everybody remember that? Michael Jordan scored 100 points by himself in a game. It was unbelievable. And they interviewed this young kid, last name Parker. Now he's like a big star, I think. Anybody know his name? Travis? I don't know. Travis Parker. And they asked him what he thought of the night. He goes, "I'll never forget this night." Because that guy scored 1 point that night. And he said, "I'll never forget the night that me and Michael Jordan scored 101 points together." And I love that. Because I can tell you all these incredible things that me and God did. But it was everything that God brought to the table. It wasn't me. But the good news of the gospel is God sends you because He intends to use you. God sends you because He intends to use you. And you may say, "So what if I don't go?" Well, then you're going to be unfaithful. What if I don't go? You're going to miss a blessing that God desires to give you. God's going to get the work done. Does everybody understand that? Say yes. God will get the work done, but He invites you and I to come along the side of Him, to follow Him, and to be a part of the work He's doing. And the highlights of my life are those moments when I followed God, and He just did amazing stuff in my midst. And He wants to do that in your life. The Nets weren't full because they finally figured something out. The Nets were full because they did what God told them to do. And it was a reminder to them that that net is a thing of God. And the only way you're going to catch any fish is if God gets them into the net. And that is a good deal. That is a good deal. So for you and me, as they come and we prepare for altar, for you and me, I want to ask you. The point of the message isn't, so let's get out of the warehouse and get to the showroom. Does everybody understand that? That's not the message. The message isn't, so figure out how to bandage up that leg and get going. That's not the message. You can't. The message is that you can do anything that God calls you to do. Now that is so easy to say. And it may be easy to hear. But it's a difficult thing to live our lives by. So let me say something in closing that I've said before. In all the other churches I served at, we made a great effort to go out into our community and go door to door and share the gospel with people. How many of you that scares you to death even hearing that? Okay? And we would do that. And I love doing that. I love doing that. And I love knocking on people's doors. And I've had so many doors slammed in my face, it doesn't even bother me anymore. But I love to go because every once in a while, somebody will talk to you. And every once in a while, somebody, I'll show up and say, "Hey, man." And a lot of times, here's how I do that. I knock on somebody's door and say, "Hey, listen, I'm from so-and-so church, and we're just praying for people. And I just want to know, is there any way we can pray for you?" When you start off that way, can I tell you, you won't get a whole lot of doors slammed in your face. Because everybody has a need. And I used to feel so strongly about going door to door and sharing the gospel with people. And it's not that I feel less strongly about it now. But I have a different perspective now. Because no matter what size the church was I was in when we were doing that, there'd only be a handful of people that would do it. It was usually one guy that was like 90 years old and couldn't talk and couldn't hear anything, right? He was always there because that's what he had done for 90 years. And bless his heart, that's a good thing. I'm not putting him down. But, you know, this is my team, you know. And I always had, some teenager that was there because her parents made him go because they thought it'd make him be the person God wanted to be, and they didn't want to be there, right? Not putting him down. That was just my team. And then it dawned on me one day. For most of us, it'd be a long time before we'd have to go knock on a stranger's door to share the gospel. You know why? Because God's put enough people in our life right now that we already know. And it really, they already care what you think. They don't care what I think.
They think I get paid to peddle the gospel. They think I want them to come to church because if they'll give money, I'll have a nicer house or a nicer car. They don't care what I think. They don't care what Steve thinks. But they care what you think because they believe you. And I pray for you tonight that God would open the door in a miraculous way. Because I remember praying and saying, God, I hope you're at work in this home. And the person opened the door and I told them who I was. And they said, I'm glad you're here because I need to be saved. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. I'll take that from you. And there's people like that in your life. And that thing that's missing in your spiritual life, or that emptiness that's there, that's not because of God. Because He's not withholding anything from you. But it's there many times because of our disobedience. So like, this is a tough sermon. But we're to be a people who are on the move. Because even as the Father sent Jesus, He is sending us. And we're supposed to go. We're supposed to share. And you have so much to share. Because some of you right now, you're sitting there thinking this is a nice little sermon and everything, but I don't even know what I'd say to somebody. Was God ever done anything for you? Right, that's a question. Has God ever done anything for you? Well, then you've got something to share. Maybe you don't totally know how to totally articulate the gospel and have somebody pray to receive Christ. You know what? That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you just to begin to share with people about the miraculous catch of fish in your life. I'm challenging you tonight that you can tell people that you're in the warehouse and you feel totally unusable to God, and yet He keeps doing these things in your life, to share that with people, because that's what people want to know. Most people just truly, if they're really honest, they just feel like they're not worthy. They just feel like there's no way God could love them. They just feel like they've blown it so bad. Why would God ever want anything to do with them? That's how most people feel. I've talked to thousands of them. And it's a lie. It is a lie. That's what Satan wants you to believe. That's what Satan wants them to believe. Why? Because if you believe that you're not usable for the kingdom, guess what? You'll never do anything. You'll never see anything. But in fact, because of a cross and a resurrection, because of what Jesus has done, you are worthy. And they are worthy. But they need somebody to tell them that. They need somebody to tell them that they are worthy. Because Jesus laid down His life so that their sin could be forgiven. And He wants to use them. And guess what? If there are any showroom kind of people that are all fixed up and all ready to go, I've never met any. I thought I knew some until I got to know them. Man, we're all over here in the warehouse. I know most of you are like me. I feel like I'm in a warehouse and I'm the only one there. Wait for somebody to come and dust me off. But we're all there. We are all broken. We are all hurting. We all feel unworthy because of things in our life. But it is a lie. Because even as the Father has sent the Son, He is sending you and me. So go. Be faithful. I want us to pray real specifically at the altar. Because already, when I even mentioned that there's already people you know, immediately some faces came to your mind of people that you probably could share some cool things that God's done in your life, and that would be meaningful to them. It would be helpful to them. And most importantly, God may use what you do and what you say to open their eyes to the truth of salvation. To the truth of what God really believes about them. So I want to ask you to come to the altar. And I want to ask you to pray. And we're going to pray for courage. Courage to share. Because even now, even though I've been in ministry a long time, I still get in moments where I'm like, whew, it's going to be hard. And that's okay. That's okay. It's a God thing. It shouldn't be easy. Are you with me? It's a God thing. Because I'm going and speaking and just praying that God does something with those words. And guess what? The Bible says He's faithful. So I want us to come to the altar and I want us to begin to pray for courage
to begin to share with these people that God's placed in our lives what He's doing in our lives. I want us to come and pray specifically for people by name. I want you to pray and say, Lord, I lift up Jason or Tina or Beth or whoever it is. I lift them up to you, Father, and I pray you make a way, God, for me to get to share with them some of the things that you've done in my life. God, you make a way. You open that door. And then I want to pray, because some of you are here tonight, and I've talked about following Jesus, that you can't stay where you are and go with God. And some of you, you've invited Christ to come into your life, but you've never followed Him in baptism. We talk about that a lot around here. It's important. Some of you, that's what you need to do. Some of you, that's going to be the thing God uses to get somebody here to hear the gospel, because they'll come and support you in that. And then there's some of you here tonight, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I want you to know, you have no hope without Him. The warehouse is much darker if that's where you sit, because you sit there with no hope of ever being used. And I'm going to ask you to trust Jesus with your life, to receive the gift of salvation that He wants to give to you. Father, we love you. And God, I thank you that I don't have to worry about the room I'm in. I don't have to worry about what I'm capable of or what I'm able to do. God, all I have to do in this walk is trust you and to follow you. And you've promised that you would do the work. So Lord, I pray that these words, this message, would serve us well tonight. Give us that courage. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Just going to have the altar just for a few moments. So I want you to stand. I'm going to invite you to come. We'll pray and we'll dismiss. Pastor Keith will be here. I'll be here. Pastor David's here. We'd love to talk with you or pray with you. So you come now. Don't wait. Come.